Tonight our theme is going to be living a blessed life or living in the blessing of God. This is something that He has available for everyone. He's got a blessing. Now here's what we want to talk about tonight. A lot of us are still living as if we have to do something to earn God's approval. And this is the theme of this season of our family right here, is that God's approval came because of what He had His Son do at the cross. And we're viewed through that blessing of Calvary. That's the place where Jesus died on the cross. And when God sees us through the sacrificial death of His Son, He accepts us. He accepts us. And we don't ever have to prove that or earn that. It's a gift of grace. Grace is G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. That's what grace is. Grace is unmerited favor. You don't deserve it. We don't earn it. But God gives it to us because of what His Son did on behalf of us. We could not pay that debt of our sinfulness. We could not pay the debt of our mistakes. So God had His Son do it. That's why Christianity is not another world religion up for a vote or discussion. I mean, Larry King will always ask the next pastor who comes on Larry King Live, are you saying that this is the only way? I'd like to say to Larry, do you have a better way? Everything else, you've got to earn it and deserve it. This is a free gift from God. There is not a better deal in the universe. This is it. I'll take it. It's a freebie. I'll take it. And I know that I can't do it anyway. I know I'm never going to be good enough to measure up to the standards of whether it's Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, Judaism, even Christianity in the religious work sense. I need the gift to make this happen in my life, and I say, thank you, Jesus, I'll take it. That's the gospel of grace. The other part of this grace is that God is looking for us. We're not really looking for Him. He chooses us. And because of His choice, we're in His family. I had as much to do with being in the family of God as I did being in my natural family. I didn't choose it. He chose it for me. And all I can say is, thank you, God. It's a whole lot better than I thought it ever would have been. So this is wonderful, this gospel of the grace of God that we're singing about. And associated with this gospel, God brings a blessing into our lives. That's not just a religious term, like God bless you. I love my friend Gerard over here. We were at a restaurant one day, and someone sneezed. And he looked over and he said, God bless you. And I mean it. They were like, oh, thank you. It wasn't just like a trivial or a little nice, little polite, you sneeze and you say Gesundheit or God bless you, whatever you say. It was like, God bless you, and I mean it. Lord, bless this person. Just praying for him on the spot, in the restaurant, in Starbucks, whatever. That's okay. God owns all the Starbucks in town anyway, and all the Duane Reeds and Dunkin' Donuts and everything else too. He's got it all. But the blessing of God is something that we've got to understand, and that's my goal in our brief time tonight. So let's pray, and just you ask God to speak to you, and I believe that He will. You ask Him. I'm going to pray for you. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You for this great time tonight in a joyful atmosphere and the privilege of meeting in this high school. We thank You. We just speak a blessing over the students who study here and their teachers and principals. We ask You to bless everything that goes on in this entire building. Lord, we thank You that we're in a safe place tonight, a good place, a place where You can change our ways, change our lives, change our thinking. And Lord, I believe that You want to impart a blessing tonight. And we pray that we would have open hearts and eyes and ears and understanding to receive something deep on the inside of us. We ask You to do it, Father, in the name of Jesus, Your only begotten Son. Amen. Now, first thing about a blessing, it's really what we all want. It's really what we all want. All of us want a blessing. Every culture, every person I know, we don't even quite understand what it is, but it sounds so good that we want it. We want to live a blessed life. And the blessing that God has is a deep sense of affirmation. It's like what He did with His Son when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River. It says the heavens opened in Mark 1. The heavens opened and a booming voice came out of heaven that said, this is My Son in whom I'm well pleased. And God just spoke that word over his son so that everyone could hear it. And you may not have a loving father to tell you, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. You may not have had the privilege of loving family. But nevertheless, that's the blessing of affirmation that comes through words that God wants to attach to your life. I think if we got honest in this room tonight, many of us have never really felt the safety and the affirmation of a loving parent that really has been a steady hand of blessing and affirmation on our life. And that is so important to the human soul. The human soul was created to get that affirmation. And when we don't get it from a family setting or friends, a lot of times we go seeking for it in the wrong places, looking for love in all the wrong places. We've all have probably had some of that in our life. Well, God wants you to know that he loves you regardless of where you've been, regardless of what you've done. God not only loves you, but he seeks to put his deep affirmation on your life, a deep sense that your life is going to be fully satisfied. And that's really what when you break this word down, it means fully satisfied. When God puts his blessing on the inside of you, your life becomes fully satisfied, and you can then give up trying to find that approval in other places or do things that you know will not satisfy. I love the words of Bono says, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And that describes the human condition, and that's why that song, that group, is the greatest in history, is they sing a lot about the human condition. But you know what? Bono can sing the next song, I really have found what I'm looking for, because it's all summed up in the blessing of God. It's summed up when God speaks and he puts that deposit and marks our life, we become different than we've ever been. We become something that we could have never become without that blessing. It's a blessing that changes your circumstances, changes your life, changes your relationship, changes your thought patterns, changes your finances. Somebody say amen out there. Changes everything about you. God's favor is attached with his blessing. As a matter of fact, he blesses you because you have found favor with God. And I'm not just talking about the general blessing to all of the 6 billion people on this planet. I'm talking about a specific blessing that God gives to his children whom have been adopted into the family of God. It's something special that he does to us. And man, I want to discover this and walk in more and more and more of this. Ephesians 1:3 says that we've already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There's something about this when we really just seek to realize what happened to me the very moment that, and the split second that I became a child of God. Not through my first birth, but through my second birth. What happened when Jesus took up residence in my life and put that blessing, as he brought every spiritual blessing with his presence into my life. And right now I have it, but we don't always realize what we have. So a lot of our life is spent, a lot of our Christian life, our walk with God is spent trying to realize what we have. Now, one of the things tonight, because all of us, we're crazy if we don't want a blessing. The opposite of blessing is a curse. We don't want a curse, and we don't need another curse in our life. But one of the things that God wants you to know is that it's okay to pray for his blessing. I think specifically to pray for the realization of it. But let's go back to a guy that God fully approved for his simple prayer of just praying for a blessing. His name was Jabez. In 1 Chronicles 4, verse 9 and 10, Jabez prayed this. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9, says that he was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother named him Jabez, saying, because I bore him with pain. Now, there's something went wrong in this mama, because every mother bore their child with pain. Most of you guys are not moms, so Carol Burnett, if you remember her, said, the pain of childbirth is like pulling your lower lip up over and wrapping around the back of your head. That's what she said. Now, this mama right here, this must have been excruciatingly painful, because his name, Jabez, is the Hebrew word for pain. She named her baby Pain. Now, does that tell you how bad this was? Could you imagine if your mama named you Cramp? Or Scratch, or Itchy, or Discomfort, or Depression. Postpartum Depression. She named him Pain. His middle name was In The. Not really. This is bad stuff here. Now, this is what, guys, this is one of the things that I love about reading the Bible. Have you ever noticed the Bible does not put makeup on people? The Bible does not put a new face on you. The Bible basically puts it out there and tells it exactly the way it is. It says, this is the human condition. This is what it's like. This is what people have done. This is what people do. And I've said this before around here, but on the resurrection story where Jesus rose out, it says that the women outran the men to the tomb. That is one reason I know this book was not invented by men. It is the Word of God because it tells the truth. There is no way if men were sitting around, Peter and James and John, sitting around, let's write the Bible and try to just convince everybody this God stuff is real. They would have never had, and the women outran us to the tomb. Peter would have written, and I blew them all away. I was there first. John was a close second. The women were still back at Jerusalem, cooking a meal for us men. Right? Now, Jabez was named Pain because his mother had him in pain. But here's what he did, and I love this. He prayed a prayer, verse 10. He called on the God of Israel. And this is a calling out, a crying out that is also incredibly important to getting beyond your pain and into getting the heart of God. It says, he cried out to God saying, oh, that you would bless me, that you would enlarge my border or increase my influence, that your hand would be with me, that you would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me. And God granted him what he requested. God gave him what he requested. He just had a simple prayer. Lord, bless me. Because one of the things that Jabez knew is that freedom from pain, freedom from the curse, freedom from a bad family situation is always found in the blessing of God. God's blessing breaks and destroys the intention of the enemy in our life. And sometimes the enemy's schemes are brought through a loving environment like a family member. Nobody would ever expect a mama to call her baby Pain. Your mama didn't call you Pain. No one would ever expect that. But sometimes in the human condition, fathers and mothers mess up. But there's a greater cry. There's a greater prayer that trumps them all. There's a greater freedom that outperforms the bondage. There's a greater deliverance that can trump the pain and the bondage and the heartbreak that you're in right now, and that is the blessing of God. You see, the blessing is not just some simple, oh, I've got a nice new car, or I have a nice new shirt. It's not just that. It's that, but it's so much more than that. It's that deep sense of being satisfied in life, that everything, it's like the shalom of God. Nothing is missing and nothing is broken. It's exactly the way God wills it to be in my life. That's what he has for us. That's what he wants to impart to us. That's what he wants to do for us. But there are many people who, even though they don't have a bad name, they've got a bad construct on the inside. Their name may not be reject, but that's how they feel. Their name may not be drug addict, but that's what they're doing. Johnny Cash wrote the song called A Boy Named Sue. You should Google that one sometime. It's a revealing dysfunctional situation. And this is the world that we live in. Jabez had that pain, and he prayed. And you know what? Because of the blessing, God granted him his simple prayer, and God delivered him. I just want to say this, and I believe it's with all my heart, this is by the Holy Spirit. There are people here, you've been praying a certain way for many years, and God is saying, you're now in the season of acceleration, of sowing and reaping. And what you've been praying and believing for in years past is being accelerated right now in this season, and it's going to begin to come to pass in this season. I don't know why I said that, but I just sense it very strongly that I believe is a word by the Holy Spirit. That God is accelerating some of your prayers. Some of you in the worst situation you've ever found yourself in, economically, relationally, socially, emotionally, in many ways, this is the season where God is making up what the canker worms and the locust worms have eaten up in your life. This is His season for you. This is a great moment, a great time where God is shining on your life. Now, Jabez had a complete turnaround. I want you to notice that he turned around several things. First of all, he turned around a bad family situation. That is not always easy to do, but he turned around a bad family situation. He turned it around because it was just his time in his life where he prayed that prayer and God redeemed that situation. Secondly, he turned around and he rose above his mama's name for his life. He rose above his brothers. He says that, and this is what I love. How many of you like me are fans of the underdog? You just love to see a good underdog story. And this was, Jabez was not the pick of the litter. Jabez was the underdog of this family. But it says that he rose up above his brothers. And you see, God plus one is always a majority. When God touches your life, He can let you rise up above natural talent, intelligence, beauty. Some of you have families where it's like one brother on one side is the MIT scientist and the sister on the other side is Miss Texas. And there you are, stuck in the middle. You're saying, one got the smarts, one got the beauty. What did I get? I'm like Charlie Brown on Trick or Treat. All I got is a rock in my bag. That's my talent. But that's the mystery for those of us that are desperate for more of God. We ask, we receive. We don't have in the natural. We get in the supernatural. And God makes up and lets us accelerate and outdo and outshine and outgive and outdo whatever it is that we're called to do for the glory of God. That's the God we serve. And the beginning of every good thing that He does in our life is receiving the blessing. Do you know what a blessing? A blessing is always given in words. It's just the word of God. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. I shared this story this morning about this guy or this lady actually who joined in with the Compassion International program, and she was writing letters to this little boy in Kenya. And the little boy in Kenya was so thankful to receive the letter, and you send off like $30 a month, and you get a picture. And when this widow lady in London got his picture, she started writing him letters and praying for him. The little boy wrote back, and he said, "Now that you have my picture, I'm sorry that I'm not so handsome." And she wrote him back. She said, "You're everything God wants you to be. You've got the right complexion." And then he wrote back a second time, "But I'm so skinny because I don't get to eat every day. We're very poor." And she said, "It's going to work out because God has your days numbered. He's got your life in His hands." She just began to weed out the thoughts, bad thoughts, and plant in the truth. And then the next, a year later, he said, "I got my grades in school, and I'm sorry that I'm not very smart." And she wrote back again, "You may not be the smartest in your class, but you're going to find out who you are. I am going to start praying for you." Then about a year later, he said, "Guess what I found out? I found out that I am the fastest person in my class." And she got all over that. Finally, some good news. Yes, you're fast. God made you fast. You're fast as the wind. You're fast as lightning. You're fast as Muhammad Ali. Not that one. And she jumped on that one, and she just started encouraging him. And then he wrote her back, and he said, "I found out that I'm the fastest in my school." Isn't that amazing what words can begin to shape our lives? Then he said, "Guess what? I'm the fastest, not only in my school, but in my region." Then he wrote back later, "I found out I am the fastest in my country." And then later he wrote her and said, "Guess what? I'm going to the Olympics, representing Kenya in the Olympics." And he came back as a silver medalist, all because, and he was so profoundly appreciative of the new words that came in his life, the new word that began to root out bad thoughts, root out what others had said, root out his circumstances. The human situation is so amazing. A little bit of encouragement goes a long way. They did an experiment on flies that were put in a drowning situation, flies in a drowning. One was given no light. Another was given a pinhole of light. that the fly with the pinhole of light would always, like, several hours later, be able to survive just by that little bit of encouragement. You know what? I believe that this place not only should be the greatest giving place, the greatest serving place, but this needs to be the most encouraging place in all of New York City. Come on. And we could take this meeting anywhere. We could take it to Midtown. We could take it to Broadway. We could take it to Wall Street. We could take it to Uptown. We could take it to the Apollo. We could take it to the side town. We could take it. We could walk out on the Hudson River and greet the next airplane out there. The Word of God is greater than your circumstances. And if you'll find it or if you'll give it away, then you'll receive it in a new measure in your life. God wants us to be encouraged. This guy was so encouraged that when he was flying back after receiving the compassion, people flew him because he said, I want to dedicate this to this lady in my life. I want to dedicate it to her. And he took his silver medal and he gave it to the widow woman in London and said, I dedicate this to you because of your encouraging words. And you know what? It's interesting to me that I had that story today and little to my knowledge that two Olympic medalists are here tonight. And I just want to introduce them because they're here and this is the analogy. It's not to say they're more special than anybody else, but I say this for this reason. I guarantee you, both of them have had a lot of encouraging words in their life. One of our dear friends and heroes, you've seen her everywhere, on the Today Show, on every talk show, and her books are out, Living the Life of Joy. Live Your Joy. Living the Life of Joy is my reinterpretation. I'm sorry. Live Your Joy. And this is Bonnie St. John. She's a silver medalist. And my great friend. And I can't resist. But, you know, Bonnie, she's a Paralympics. She has one leg. And she walks on her prosthetic leg, and she was the downhill ski silver medalist champion, and it's amazing how she does that. And to me, she's overcome everything. If you read her books or whatever, she's overcome the abusive past that she had. Here she is, was a poor African-American gal in San Diego, and I said, Bonnie, I don't know what's the greater miracle, one leg or African-American from San Diego skiing? She defies all odds. But somebody, somewhere, got the word of encouragement into her life, and she began to believe, I can be a champion. And she went on to be a Rhodes Scholar and a Harvard, all this stuff, Clinton appointed, all these things that Bonnie is. But to me, she's just my friend. But it is so amazing what words of encouragement. And then Tobin is here tonight visiting from Jersey. This is Tobin Heath, who's a gold medalist back from Beijing in the women's soccer team. Come on, Tobin. I know you're too humble. Gold medalist. And she's just a servant of God. Someone along the way encouraged Tobin that she can be an achiever like this. And, you know, that's where in a setting like this, an environment like this, can I just ask, there's two places you never should be stingy. Or three places, let me just go on, three or four, a lot of places. Number one is in worship. Don't ever be stingy towards God. Well, I'm not really feeling like it. What does feeling have to do with worship, man? Give God your heart and your soul. Turn it over. As a matter of fact, when you do that, you start feeling better. David said, the greatest psalmist and songwriter, David said, I make my soul boast in the Lord. My soul will. I have to tell my body sometimes, get up. Yes, I talk to my body. Come on, it's better than talking to shadows. I mean, we're New Yorkers. You get away with it here in New York. Talk to yourself. Speak to yourself. They think that you're just normal. He said, I make my boast. Don't be stingy in worship. Secondly, don't be stingy in the offering. Man, we should be rich towards God. That's what Scripture says. Why? Because it's like a bank account. We're putting up our finances into a heavenly bank account. Jesus said, where neither rust destroys or moth eats. Thirdly, is in our encouragement for each other. sometimes I think we just rob people when we're not encouraging. I know sometimes God wakes me up in the middle of the night and asks me, well, actually, he doesn't ask me. He usually tells me to go and send an email or a text message to someone. I'm praying for you. Here's a scripture for you. It's a habit. It's a joy. To me, it's easy. And I know, you know what? I don't lack for encouragement. My wife will tell you, I'm almost always encouraged. I don't really need a whole lot of outside encouragement. I'm just encouraged. And I think one of the reasons is I'm giving encouragement away. Scripture says, encourage one another day by day. As we see a bad day coming, let's start encouraging each other. Let's be built up. You know what? Let's just be so charged up. We could leave this place tonight so charged up, so enthusiastic. We could just charge hell with a water pistol. Here I come. I'm going to charge this terrible situation that's out there. There's a scripture that says, greater is he that is in us than all that's going on in the world. Greater is he. The blessing is verbal. The blessing is what we want. The blessing is what we need. Secondly, the blessing is what God has to give. The blessing is what God gives away. There's so many scriptures here that we could talk about, but the blessing is something that God, Proverbs 10 verse 22 says, the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow to it. Would it be fair to ask, does God want to make me rich? And I would say it depends on what your definition is. It depends on what your definition is. When I read the word rich, I read it in more of the sense of the shalom of God, the peace of God, the well-being of God. Does God want to take care of me financially? I believe and have no doubt about it. And he has proven himself over and over and over and over again that God is taking care of my finances. But it's not. It doesn't just stop there. There's the riches of the kingdom. There's the true riches. There's the riches of relationships. The riches of joy and peace and happiness that money cannot buy. God, it says the blessing of the Lord makes rich and doesn't put sorrow to it. I knew a guy that was given a boat one time. He was so happy. He was given an old boat. And he said, man, this is the big life now. I've got a boat now. And he took some friends out with him in this boat. And they got out in the middle of a lake and the engine died. And they ended up having to call some towboat company to come and tow him back in with his friends that he was trying to impress. And then he got the boat out again. Second time, did it again. Finally, his boat sat in the carport of his home for about 5 years. It never moved. It was an eyesore. This is not what God has to give. When God is giving, there's no sorrow attached to it. It's not just sort of a hand-me-down. Oh, no one else. And can I just tell you, there's nothing worse than when you're doing a clothing drive for poor people than you giving them pants with a bunch of holes in them in the wrong places. Give them pants with the holes in the cool places that you pay extra for. But not those kind of pants. That's horrible. When God gives you a gift, man, it's a great gift. It's a first-class gift. When we give him a gift or give others a gift, we should have the same thing in mind. I felt so terrible one time. I gave someone a fake Mont Blanc pen. This is a long time ago in my life. But I felt so bad over this last 20 years. I can't wait till I see him again because I owe him a real Mont Blanc pen. And I will come clean. I promise you I will. I will come clean because I felt so bad that I got some, I don't know where it was from, maybe one of my shopping moments in the black market of China or Korea or someplace. But I felt so bad because I didn't tell him. Sooner or later, that dude would have noticed it on the third right when parts would have been falling off. And he'd say, man, that guy gave me a terrible gift. God, forgive me for doing that. I don't ever want to do that again. That was a long time ago, and I still feel the agony of condemnation for that, that Jesus Christ can forgive me of. Praise God. And I can overcome tonight with your help and encouragement. Not that kind of encouragement. Give me a new Mont Blanc pen to mail to this dude. Just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. This is the kind of blessing that God has. Can I encourage you tonight in our new culture of thrift, in our new culture of frugality, because we don't want to be seen with driving good or wearing good or whatever. Can I encourage you that when God blesses you with something, it's for you to enjoy, not to be embarrassed about? I want to encourage you with that. That the blessing of the Lord is something that God has for you. And don't short-circuit it or push it away because, oh, I can't imagine being one of those kind of people that just flaunts things. Maybe God is entrusting it to you as someone recently was given some money and said, I want to give it to the next guy. Maybe that's why he's giving it to you. But don't push away the goodness of God away from you. Say yes to God, because really what we are, we're not a cul-de-sac. We are a freeway where it comes to me and I realize I can't hang on to anything too long or too sacredly, because God may call me to pass that blessing on to someone else. That is a sign that the blessing is coming to you when you're ready to start passing it on. Let's look at the life of Abraham real quickly in Genesis 12. You guys doing okay tonight? We still have a couple more hours to get. And, for our guests here tonight, just kidding. A couple more minutes here, but says the Lord says to Abram, go from your country, go from your relatives, go from your father's house to the land that I'm going to show you. I want to tell you sometimes that even in good families, what God has to give you is a whole lot better. And definitely out of bad situations, bad family, bad kindred, bad country, bad tribes, bad traditions. Some of you are here tonight. You've had to overcome a cultural barrier to get to have fellowship with a people like this. Can I tell you, I would have never imagined that I'd be fellowshipping with you guys where hands are being raised and no one's asking questions. Where people are worshiping like this. I said, what is it? I mean, I can't believe. Here, I'm one of you now. I remember my first day. Great, thanks. Remember my first time around you guys, I would just kind of do this to kind of be cool, you know, okay, God, you know. We have nothing to be ashamed of. We love God. Some people, where's Pastor George? Pastor George, is he here? Where are you, bro? Pastor George is here tonight. Pastor George, we've known each other, what? 15 years or so. And he comes out of the AME Zionist Church. AME Zionist Church is, how would you describe that? It is all out black gospel, Pentecost, breakaway, run around, wild, dance, moving with your feet. They do things with their feet. And the organ just dun 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 dun. When that happens, it's just everybody dun 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 dun. I mean, everybody just breaking away. And now George comes from that, and he comes to my church. This was 15 years ago or so, and I'm preaching this message where God's calling him out of his father's house, and he's like looking at this thing with a white guy up there with his guitar. Let me tell you, that don't work for a brother. This is not brotherly love. That Philadelphia church was brotherly love. But there was a white guy up there like this, strumming, and he's like, his mind is just doing things. His mind is contorting, like how that fence is so high, but he knew that God was calling him. And eventually he climbs over the wall. He gets in the fold. And then we're multi-ethnic. And next thing you know, all of a sudden a Hammond organ shows up with the guitars. So there's a Hammond organ going down. There's the guitar. Then there's the tambourines. And there's a whole new heavenly sound of a gospel and sort of a strummy feel and a gospel feel blended into one. That, my friend, is the sound of heaven. You know what? The kind of church that Jesus is after today is where it's multi-ethnic. I'm just saying that he's taught us to pray long enough. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What's it like in heaven? Revelation at the throne. John's writing, he said, people from every tribe, every tongue, every language, every ethnicity, poor, rich, black, white, young, old, they're all there at the throne worshiping him. That's what he wants in the earth. And that's, praise God, by his grace, what we have as a result of praying that prayer. That's what we have. You don't see in heaven a place, the Chinese churches on the east side, and then the black gospel churches in the Harlem side of heaven, and then the Puerto Rican church over here, and then the Messianic Jewish people over there. It's not divided up like that. It's one tribe, one family, one people. That's what God is after in New York City. And praise God, we are not satisfied until we have hundreds of ethnicities in this house where we're going to have like headsets when you walk in, because it's going to be like the United Nations. Abraham, back to him. That's where all that came from. Back to Abram. Abram, father of many. Verse 1. Says, verse 2, I'll make you a great nation. I will bless you. And the same way God's saying that to Abram, he's saying that to you and I. He's saying, I will bless you. Are you afraid of the blessing? You want the blessing of God. Every aspect of it. All my relationships to be blessed. Everything I'm putting my hand to be blessed. All that we are. It says, I'm going to make your name great. So, here it is. So you shall be a blessing. The reason, and this is the fun part, the reason God gives us the blessing is not to keep it, but that we could be carriers of His blessing and become a blessing to other people. That's why God does it. And then in verse 3, He goes on, and I'm going to bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I'll curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So what did Abraham have to do? And this is what we have to do. We've got to start lining up with the blessing of God. We got to line up. And I got to tell you something. This service tonight may not be the perfect service, but can I tell you, it's probably going to help you line up more with the blessing of God than ESPN tonight. It's going to help you line up more with the blessing of God than VH1 tonight. It's going to help you line up more with the blessing of God than 60 Minutes tonight. Sorry if you work for all these people. I'm sorry. But here's what I've got to say. Is that God wants to begin to line you up with His purpose, with His power, with His presence, with His purity, with His perfect will for your life. And sometimes to get there, we've got to line up and come to a place like this. If it's not here in town, find the place where it is for you, but go there, be fed there, find the people of God, and then you're going to find the purpose of God. So, what did Abram have to do? Very clear. He had to leave three things. Number one, God said, leave your kindred. Get away from those people that are pulling you back. Break free from them. Number two, leave your family. Why? Because they were idolaters. They were trying to pull them back. Jesus said to love me more than your father, mother, sister, brother. Traditions. Jesus said to love me more. The third thing is leave your country. What is that? What are we leaving out? We're leaving that greasy bucket. We're leaving grease behind. We're leaving high cholesterol behind. And you know what? In Deuteronomy it says the promised land. The promised land. That's not what it said. The promised land is the land that flows with milk and honey. It's Popeyes. All right. We couldn't resist tonight. Here's the point you need to remember with that, and then we get to our last point. And then God's blessing always follows obedience. God's blessing follows obedience. I meet Christian people all the time make up their own rules. They make up their own rules. Oh, church is just a nice option. Where does it say that in the Bible? Well, I could take Jesus as my Savior, but not as my Lord. Oh, okay. 37 times it says Savior. 7,700 times it says Lord. You have some schizophrenic view of Jesus. Well, I don't really need to tithe 10% or bring the whole tithe into the... Oh, that's nice. You just make up your own church, okay? Just go make up your own deal. Call it with God. Why don't you call it the Let's Make a Deal Church? You and God just make a deal. And you know what? That is the syncretistic spirit of the age. People want the blessing of God, but they don't want to do it God's way. That's going to mean a lot of frustration. You, like the Israelites, are going to take a lot of laps around those mountains. One of the saddest verses in the entire Bible is in Deuteronomy chapter 1. It says, it was an 11-day journey from Kadesh Barnea into the Promised Land. 11 days. And then the next verse after that says, and in the 40th year, it took those brothers and sisters 40 years, before they finally did it God's way. It should have taken 11 days. How long do you want it to be? How long do you want to delay what God has for you? It doesn't help by us not doing it God's way. Now, the third thing, and in closing, this is what I love, is that He empowers us to become this blessing. As it says in verse 2, that God makes us a blessing, as He said to Abraham. He makes us a blessing. And I love this because really, ultimately, that's what we want to be. We want to be a blessing. He makes us that way. Let's get honest here. When we started out in the kingdom of God, we still basically had one thing in mind. That is, not the Trinity, but the unholy Trinity, me, myself, and I. That's how we started. We had, how can I do better? How can I marry Miss Pretty? How can I make a billion? How can, you know, billion's not what it used to. How can I make a trillion? Whatever. How can I be an achiever? How can I? And then somewhere along the way, we move from survival to success, and then we go where God wants to take us. That is into significance. We say, I'm going to be a blessing. My life is going to count. You know, and that's how that's how we live. That's how we build. One of the things that recently blessed me, because MSNY is helping a lot of people. Helping people in all walks of life. Some emotionally, some maritally, some relationally, some in just getting their spiritual foundations in order. Some people who are some of the poor people of the city are able to come and be encouraged and help in financial relief, a lot of different ways that we're becoming the people that God wants us to be. Have we arrived yet? Not even close. I think we're at kindergarten level. But sometimes I get little pictures of things that we're involved with, whether it's missions or otherwise. And we will do a missions offering tonight. Why? Because God wants to make us a blessing outside of ourselves, giving away from us. Not just hanging on to everything, but giving something away. That's called planting a seed into our future. Planting a seed, helping someone else grow their vineyard so that we can be blessed on our side. But I got a call not long ago from Sunday Goodnight. You guys know that we're doing this Stop Child Traffic Now campaign. And she said one of the incentives is going to be a tote bag for those people who sign up to walk. And you can do that now, by the way. Sign up to walk. Get a team going. Just 10 people from your workplace or so. Just be a team captain. You can sign up on that already on our website. The last 2 weeks, people from all over the country are signing up. It's very encouraging. But for those who raise $250, and you know, raising $250 in New York is not that difficult for a cause like this. It's really easy. We want to shut down predators and traffickers and stop slavery in our generation. And we have a practical solution. So at the $250 level, Sunday was ordering these tote bags. Tote bags for someone who raises $250, they get a tote bag. And we found out that these tote bags, and this, it was all arranged this way, are being made by 23 women in Cambodia who have all been rescued out of sexual slavery. God made us a blessing. God Himself made us a blessing. He made us a blessing. Why is that? Because we are blessed. We're blessed. We're free. We shouldn't take our freedom for granted. We shouldn't take our liberties for granted. We shouldn't take our spirit-filled, overflowing, effervescent faith for granted. We are so blessed that we've got leftover for other people. David said in Psalm 23, my cup runneth over. And that's what He's going to do in all of our lives, is make us a blessing.